This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Some severe weather moving into the area between 9 and noon. Stay weather aware, which has become a thing to say. Monique Morrissey joins us now, senior economist with the Economic Policy Institute. Talk about Elon Musk and his comments about Social Security, which are not perhaps inaccurate, not politically palatable. What would it look like and what would it mean for Americans? Good morning, Monique. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. I appreciate your time. So Elon Musk said it was a Ponzi scheme, which is not a nice phrase and certainly hints at chicanery. Other people have for years described it as robbing Peter to pay Paul. So I guess it's tomatoes, tomatoes, huh?
Well, I disagree with that characterization of Social Security. Social Security is like a lot of other government programs. You know, people pay and then they get something later, or vice versa. Like you go to school and it's paid for by taxpayers and then later on you pay taxes. So it's not any different from most government programs, is that there are different phases in your life when you're either paying in or you're taking out. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. But, you know, obviously you can call it a Ponzi scheme if you have an intention of closing it down, then it's true that people who paid in aren't going to get anything out of it. But that's only if you're intending to shut it down.
So what about the economic stability of it and continuing to fund it, whether you plan to shut it down or not? Can the government afford to keep funding it? I'm not arguing. I'm just trying to ask.
Absolutely. I mean, there is an issue with Social Security's finances, but it's actually a fairly moderate one, and it's perfectly solvable. So basically, because of the baby boomers retiring, the amount that's going out has been increasing, and this is totally normal, and it was planned for. The actuaries for Social Security knew about this decades ago and put more money in the trust fund, and now we're drawing down the trust fund. And people think that drawing down the trust fund is a problem, but that's what it was there for, because Social Security really is designed to be current contributions go to current beneficiaries. That is a completely normal thing. That's the way it's always functioned. But they built up a little bit of extra savings for the baby boomers, and the baby boomers are here now. The problem is that, you know, we also need to adjust things periodically. And the last time Social Security was adjusted was 1983. So it's high time that we increase revenues into the system, because costs long term are going up about 1% of GDP. So this is manageable. It's not like the costs are going up, you know, increasingly year after year. It's like they went up and then they're going to level off, and we just need to close that shortfall.
You said drawing down trust fund. People text me and say that Congress has raided the trust fund. Are they drawing it down to pay Social Security? Are they drawing it down for other things? Tell me what's happening there.
Yeah, no, they're absolutely paying. They're drawing it down in order to pay benefits for the baby boomers. There is nothing wrong with that. So this is, you know, people who don't like Social Security, and most people like Social Security, by the way, and this is bipartisan. They're sort of ideological people who have an issue with Social Security, and then they like to say these things. But the vast majority of Republicans and Democrats love Social Security, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with drawing down the trust fund. That was what it was there for. In fact, what we should be saying is that the Social Security actuaries planned decades in advance for what they knew to be the post-war bulge of births, right? This is what happened. World War II, after World War II, a lot of babies were born. And, you know, that's a larger than usual cohort, and they planned around that. And so it's actually, you know, really, if it wasn't for the smears against Social Security, we should all be thanking the actuaries and people who work at Social Security for having seen this in advance and planned around it.
So is Social Security at risk, or if not, and you say it needs to be adjusted, do you adjust benefits, do you adjust retirement age, or do you just start collecting more from the people that are?
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Working.
Well, I mean, certainly the vast majority of Americans just want to put more revenue into the system. In fact, there's even support for expanding benefits and paying for them various ways. But let's say you don't even want to expand benefits. There's, you know, for example, there's an organization that's a bipartisan big tent organization called the National Academy of Social Insurance. And they recently repeated a survey they did, you know, I don't know, 10 years ago. And they just did it again. And it shows that when people are asked and they think about it, the vast, vast majority of Democrats and Republicans just want to increase revenues into the system. And this can be done by a very slow and gradual increase in the payroll tax rate. But also what's really popular is raising the maximum earnings that are taxable. So right now, if you make more than $176,000 a year, you actually don't pay Social Security taxes above that amount. And most people think that's unfair, understandably. That means Elon Musk and every, you know, they pay the same amount as a doctor, mm-hmm. you know, it's and they pay a lower rate of their incomes than the average person. And so most people want to fix that. Doing away with that cap doesn't entirely fix the problem, but it gets a good chunk of it. And that's actually, and you know, one of the reasons that sort of billionaires are, you know, worried about Social Security is that they understand that this is very popular and they don't want to pay taxes on that. That would be a big tax increase on billionaires who are currently paying very little in taxes as a share of their income. So that's what's made this, you know, sort of a political football. But one thing that's clear is that when among voters, there's bipartisan support for increasing revenues into the system. And again, we're not talking about a huge increase, a very gradual increase in the payroll tax rate combined with scrapping the cap of the taxable earnings back would be sufficient to pay to close the shortfall.
I know I have a neighbor that I help walk him through the Social Security process, and he's recently begun to collect it, and he was ardently against Social Security until those checks started arriving. And then, Monique, once those checks started to arrive, don't touch it. Keep the government away from my Social Security. That's what he tells me all the time. And I'm thinking, well, you know, it kind of is a government program. Monique Morrissey is our guest, senior economist with the Economic Policy Institute. We'll talk about DOGE and waste in Social Security, what they've found, how much exists when we come back. 6:50, 10 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 6:56, 4 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Monique Morrissey, senior economist with the Economic Policy Institute. Elon Musk said that DOGE is a Ponzi scheme. Monique says, no, it really isn't. It was always designed to work the way it's working. Monique, when it comes to fraud, abuse, waste, all that stuff, has DOGE found any real waste in Social Security, or has a lot of it been, what are the facts behind the claims, I guess, what I'm trying to figure out?
Well, it's actually kind of funny if it wasn't so sad, but basically, DOGE is really a bunch of 22-year-olds running around and, you know, like who are programmers, and they don't actually understand the government program. They just understand programming, maybe. And so initially, Elon Musk and others have said stuff like, oh, there's 150-year-olds getting Social Security. And they said, oh, there's, you know, millions of dollars being sent to 11-year-olds for small business loans. And it turns out there's no basis for this. And some of these things were repeated by President Trump during his, speech to the joint Congress speech, which is sort of like the State of the Union, but for the first year. Anyhow, so all of these things, so people were like, what? No, you know, there's been a lot of studies about fraud and abuse, and there are a lot of money put towards preventing it. And how in the world could be throwing out these giant numbers, like talking about, you know, $500 billion or $1 trillion of waste? And it turns out that this was actually Wired magazine that came up with an explanation for why they were saying 150-year-olds were getting benefits, is that it turns out that the code that you use in this program, if you don't have an exact death date, looks like you're 150 years old. So if they had even just understood a little bit of it, they would have looked and seen, are these people actually receiving benefits? And they weren't. So that's one way that they made a mistake. And again, you know, that it's one thing to make a mistake. It's another thing to double down on it. And they just, you know, once they were found in this embarrassing error, it still gets repeated. The other error that they did, which I think is kind of funny, is that they thought these 11-year-olds were getting small business loans because they saw the code SBA. But that stands for Survivor Benefit Annuity, which means, you know, it's the benefit you get if you're like parent as a service member or a federal government employee or somebody who's getting a pension and that person dies, then the orphan gets this annuity. It's not an SBA loan. It's not a Small Business Administration loan. It's a orphan annuity. So anyhow, you know, again, that's what happens when you let 22-year-olds rummage through data. And, you know, the issue isn't just that they were making stuff up and they didn't understand what was going on, is that we had people, like, there are really, really strict rules about who can rummage through this data, because SSA records include not just people's Social Security number, which is bad enough. Nobody wants that stuff leaked, but also like people's medical records, people's banking account numbers. You know, all of this information is stored as Social Security. And, you know, having people off-site access this, it countered every single possible precaution and rule that SSA had been doing to protect this data for years and years and years. So there are real issues about, you know, access to the data, but also a lot of this information was just, you know, was mistakes again by the 22-year-old who was, accessing this data off-site and didn't understand how the program worked.
Thank you. Appreciate your time. Monique Morrissey, who is the senior economist with the Economic Policy Institute, studies this for a living. I'm seeing the text line here. Some of you agree with what she says. Some of you disagree with what she says. This is America. Where does truth have anything to do with anything now? Nothing. Believe what you want. We'll be back in a flash. WWL.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.